This episode is sponsored by Verizon. Are you ready for your next assignment? As a leading communications technology company, Verizon is always looking for experienced leaders to step forward and help us stay competitive in the global marketplace. More than 10,000 veterans contribute their skills across our entire business. We're proud to work alongside them each day and fortunate to benefit from their outstanding skills, discipline, and experience. To learn more about joining our team, check out verizon.com/military. Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and my goal is to help military veterans and their families thrive in their civilian career. Today's episode number 320, Marines to Outdoor Adventure Guide with Mike Titzer.
Don't be afraid to do something a little non-traditional. It'll most likely work out in the end. I know a lot of people in the military, it can be scary. You're going from this like nice paycheck and a nice house, free medical, things like that, to kind of take the leap and do something different. I had a really supportive wife who also wanted to do these things. So she moved with me to Cambodia. She's doing the Knowles thing with me, which is awesome. I would say, don't be afraid to do something non-traditional, especially living overseas, especially in Asia. It's sort of a growth area right now.
Shortly after leaving the Marine Corps, Mike traveled to Cambodia, where he worked to set up a CrossFit gym. He went on to business school in Malaysia, and then he became a National Outdoor Leadership School instructor, where he teaches civilians and members of the military about wilderness survival and leadership. Which is all to say, Mike is a veteran who is forging his own way and thinking outside the box. If you are interested in a non-traditional career path or just a great story, this is the interview for you. For those of you who enjoy this episode, be sure to check out episode 240, Self-Reliant Leadership with Jan Rutherford, episode number 268, How the Outdoors Saved My Life with Stacy Baer, and episode number 120, Traveling the World for 4 Years After Active Duty Navy with Tim Patterson. You'll find links to each of those episodes in the show notes for this episode at beyondtheuniform.org, where you'll also find over 300 other completely free episodes, a whole host of online events and webinars, and more. So with that, let's dive into my conversation with Mike. Joining me today, normally gallivanting all around the world, as you'll hear about, but today, ironically in Denver, just like me, is Mike Titzer. Mike, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Special thanks to Scott McKee, who made the introduction to Mike. He met Mike on an Alaska Knowles trip, and I wanted to share with listeners a little bit about your background. Mike is a field instructor at the National Outdoor Leadership School, or Knowles. Knowles is a nonprofit global wilderness school that will help you step forward boldly as a leader. He served in the Marine Corps for 6 years. Since his military service, he opened a CrossFit gym in Cambodia and went to business school in Malaysia. He holds an MBA from the Asia School of Business, a master's in international relations from American University, and a bachelor's of science in mechanical engineering from the Naval Academy. Mike, one of the things I love about your story is it's very atypical. Take us through going from the Marine Corps to opening a CrossFit gym in Cambodia.
Yeah, sure. So I was in the Marine Corps. I was planning on getting out, and I started CrossFit in the Marine Corps, and I just kind of wanted to coach at a local gym just for fun. And so I took like a CrossFit level 1 certificate course. I didn't really have any plans for once I got out of the Marine Corps. I figured I'd just do the normal thing, like talk to a recruiter, try to get a corporate job somewhere, that kind of thing. But then when I took this level 1 certificate course, it was right outside an Air Force base. And everybody there had high end tights and like very military-like, except for one person. This one guy in the front had like this big beard and like a ponytail. I was like, that person looks interesting. I'm going to sit next to them. And so he and I partnered up for the certificate course. We did like the workouts together, did the homework together, things like that. And then it turns out that he was an American living in Cambodia who wanted to open up a CrossFit gym. He'd been living there for several years. His wife already had a business there. And he liked the idea of like bringing like this kind of cool community-based health and fitness organization to Cambodia. But he had not really done too much CrossFit before, so he needed a partner to help him out to do it. And so he and I connected, and next thing you know, I'm flying over to Cambodia to be the head coach and manager and help him open up the gym over there.
Was that difficult? I mean, it's going from the structure and certainty of the Marine Corps to no structure, no certainty, no job security. How did you kind of come to grips with parachuting off to something like that?
Yeah, that's interesting. It was a job security thing. Like, we signed a 2-year contract with like a monthly salary, that kind of thing. So that made me, it's not like I just landed in Cambodia without a job. Like, there's definitely like a job in place and a salary negotiated and all that. I think what helped me is that in the Marine Corps, I kind of had a non-traditional job in the Marine Corps. I did do some traditional artillery and, you know, kind of a traditional artillery deployment to Afghanistan. But after that, I kind of did some non-traditional deployments to the United Arab Emirates, where it was just like me and my sergeant and, you know, 300 Emiratis. And we're just sort of out on our own, like training with the Emiratis, sort of a mill-to-mill type relationship. So I was kind of used to kind of working in a foreign environment on my own, sort of taking the initiative, not too much structure, which I think set me up really well for my job in Cambodia. Because it was very similar, got a bicycle and was like bicycling around to the different vendors. Like, you know, we needed a steel person to install some of the walls, and we needed like a wood person to like make some chairs. And we you know, so I just kind of like going around to all the different places and communicating about like what we needed to get this gym up and running.
That's wild. Was that something when you were in the Marine Corps? Was that like a conscious realization of, hey, I actually like traveling to these different countries. I like being able to move around. Did that influence your desire to do something similar when you got out?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the Marine Corps I was in for 6 years, and 5 of those years I was not in the U.S. So like I said, I was in Afghanistan for 7 months, but then I was also in the UAE for 2 years, Qatar for 7 months, Japan for a year, Thailand, just all over the place, really. I really like enjoyed living overseas. And to be honest, when I got out of the Marine Corps, I wasn't really ready to just go back to the U.S. and settle down, so to speak. I was still enjoying living overseas. And specifically, I enjoyed living overseas. I realized from my Dubai deployment that I enjoyed living overseas sort of not in a military context. It was a really nice gig in the Marine Corps in Dubai. We obviously wore uniform when we were with the Emiratis on base, but like we lived in hotels out in town. Like, we had cars. We could kind of do our own thing when it wasn't work time. We weren't like living on a base or anything. Mm-hmm. So I kind of got like a taste of the expat life, so to speak. And I wanted more of it. So.
And what was the experience like? Like, what did you take away from that time involved with the CrossFit gym?
Oh, that's awesome. We had about 150 members from 20 different countries. And also we really tried to train local Cambodian coaches to kind of take over, which was really fulfilling for us. What we took away, it was just amazing to build a community out of like a community that wasn't there before. And then when we walked away, there was this thriving community of people, 150 people that not only like worked out together, but they also like had events like board game night, and they like went out on Friday nights, and they supported each other's small businesses. And it was like connections, not just within the gym, but like without. So creating this community where people could get together and share their lives was really rewarding to me.
That's wonderful. How did you know it was time to move on, and what did you move on to?
That's a good question. I guess in my mind, coming out of the Marine Corps, I'd always wanted to go to business school. Maybe it's more like sometimes it can seem like a traditional jump from like the military to business school. Like, a lot of people kind of go that route. And so I kind of had it in my head that I wanted to do that too. And so I had always planned to stay in Cambodia for 2 years and then go to business school. So I kind of stuck with that plan, did Cambodia for 2 years while I was like applying for business school. And then once I got into place, then went to the business school.
How did you choose to do business school in Malaysia instead of, you know, in the United States?
Yeah. So I applied to lots of different places. The main one being MIT Sloan School of Business. And they, it turns out that they had a sister program that had just started in Malaysia called the Asia School of Business. And so, you know, I applied to all these different places and the choice, you know, Duke or UNC or, you know, whatever. And the choice was kind of like, okay, move back to the US and pay like a lot of money to go to one of these business schools. And you're probably going to have like a 9-to-5 corporate job right afterwards to pay off all these loans. Or you could take this education that's is being offered right there in Kuala Lumpur. And they had a lot of a really good scholarship program, you know, free housing, free education and everything like that. With the added benefit of having MIT professors fly in from Boston to Kuala Lumpur to teach classes. So it was really almost like a win-win scenario. And also, to be honest, I wasn't really ready to leave Asia yet. Mm-hmm.
So. That's wonderful. If you were to bump into someone on the streets today and they said, hey, Mike, what do you do for a living? How do you answer that?
I would tell them that I do a little bit of everything. I am a Knowles Field instructor. So I do that mainly in the summers up in Alaska. And I also do that a little bit in the fall and spring. I'm going to start getting into the caving program. That's down in Utah, so taking students out caving. But I'm also a CrossFit coach. So when I'm not Knowlesing, I coach CrossFit. That's my other passion in life.
And for those not familiar with Knowles, how would you explain what the National Outdoor Leadership School is to someone not familiar with them?
Yeah, so Knowles was founded by someone called Paul Petzl in 1962. He'd been on like the first American expedition to K2 and like a lot of different pretty intense mountaineering expeditions back in the 30s and 40s. And what he realized was that people had a lot of good technical skills, but not so much of a social and interrelational skills to make an expedition work. So he founded this school with the purpose of teaching people not just technical skills, but the skills needed to lead and be a part of a high-functioning, harmonious team in difficult environments. And so Knowles really does use the wilderness as its classroom. All the courses, I think, you know, out of the 30-day course, sort of a Knowles standard that we teach, I think like one day is spent like beforehand, not in the wilderness. And so you're really like out there the entire time. Knowles is special because everybody gets a chance to develop their own leadership style. So after the first couple of days, it's not like a guided experience. After the first couple of days, like for example, Justin, you'll be the leader of the day. And let's say like Sally and myself are having an argument about something and Tim's knee hurts and oh yeah, it's starting to rain and like we got to cross this river, where should we do it? And as the leader of the day, you have to like manage all these different problems, not just like technical, but also personal and relational. And then at the end of the day, like not only do the instructors give you feedback, but your fellow students give you feedback. And then the next day, someone else gets to be leader of the day. So it's really pretty neat. People get to experiment with different leadership styles and kind of figure out what does and what doesn't work for them.
And for listeners, so my wife, when she was in college, did a Knowles summer trip, a 3-month trip. My brother-in-law did one in Patagonia. One of my best friends from business school took me on our own trip to Alaska, but he had done a lot of work with Knowles. And if I have one regret in life, it's that I did not delay going to the Naval Academy to do a Knowles summer, like to do that trip. I hope my son does that. I have so much respect for this organization. How was it, Mike, that you got involved to them and even exposed to this?
So actually I got involved and exposed through the Naval Academy. I graduated in 2008. And I think Knowles and the Academy's relationship started in 2005. And so I was a midshipman. I was a rising, I just finished my sophomore year, so a rising second class. And I found out about the summer training opportunity in Alaska. It was like a 30-day mountaineering course. At the time, it was people who had just graduated and were service selecting into the SEAL community or Special Forces community. But they were also opening up a couple slots to like some younger folks. And so I jumped on one of those open slots, and I did my first Knowles course back in 2006. It was so much fun. It was awesome. So when I got out of the Marine Corps in 2014, I had a couple years. Anyway, summer of 2016, exactly 10 years later, I had some time in the summer, and my now wife, I was like, hey, like, we should do this Knowles thing. It was like a lot of fun. And so we signed up for a course together, a mountaineering course, and we did one 10 years later in 2016. And it was a lot of fun. And now actually she's a Knowles instructor too. So.
What was that? What was the process like to become a Knowles instructor?
So you can apply for what's called like a Knowles instructor course. And basically they want people with some background, not only with Knowles, but with leadership training, coaching training, outdoor skills. And basically you sign up for this Knowles instructor course, which is another, I think like 20 to 30 day course. And they take you out there. And during this instructor course, you practice what it takes to instruct a Knowles course. So how to run a debrief, how to teach the different classes, how to like facilitate discussion between students, things like that.
Could you share a story of any story that kind of stands out from your experience of Knowles? I was thinking kind of along the lines of leadership, a time when you were in leadership, but just, I want to give people a vivid sense of what it's like being on one of these trips, and would just love whatever story seems most relevant.
Oh yeah. Okay. I've got a good one for that. I was taking out some Naval Academy midshipmen a couple years ago in Alaska. And a lot of these midshipmen, as you remember, it's a very hectic life when you're at the academy. You know, it's constantly go, go, go. There's hardly a second just to sit and like think and contemplate things. And so a lot of times on the course, like they would always want to be like talking and chit-chatting and like, which is great, that's fine. But then there's this one point when we were on the side of this mountain, and there's this valley below us, and there are hundreds of caribou, just hundreds of them, like this giant herd. And we all just sat there quietly for like 15 minutes and watched this caribou herd go across. And you could like hear the clicking of their ligaments. You could hear the thundering of the hooves on the ground. And it was a really special moment to be able to give to midshipmen sort of like a quiet sense of contemplation and just like appreciating the space that they're near. In the space that they're in, instead of always thinking about like the future and what they need to be doing and things like that. It's just sort of like being present in the moment. So that was a really special time.
That's awesome. Have you observed any, because you've at this point, I'm guessing, led many people from the military or the Naval Academy on these sorts of trips. Have you noticed anything like that? Any other traits that you see people in the military, either like a blind spot they may have or something that they might want to try out or discover through this sort of program?
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, first of all, experimenting with the different leadership styles, I think is key. Especially for like the younger folks who, like the 22 year olds kind of thing. Example, this one kid, on his first leadership of the day, he was like a little too militaristic. And then the next time he got some like feedback from his course mates about it. And the next time he was almost like too much the other direction, like too much joking around, whatever. And so it was kind of neat to see how he experimented with the two extremes and tried to find like a middle ground after that. But I would say with older people considering this course, like I took out a group of 40-year-olds. I feel like a lot of military people especially tend to bottle things up if they have a problem with somebody else. Maybe they won't bring it out into the open. Maybe they'll just kind of sweep it under the rug and like move on. Debriefing intense incidents. I found that the debriefs needed some work. So not just technical debriefs, which is what military people sort of latch onto, especially in the pilot community or really any community, people kind of like latch onto the technical aspect because they don't want to talk about the interpersonal dynamics. So I would say debriefs are something people, military people, I think, struggle with, especially when it comes to like interpersonal dynamics.
That's great. I was reflecting back on my own military experience more than 10 years ago now. And I know the Naval Academy, they talk about it being a leadership laboratory. I think that's true in many ways. I can't remember a lot of times where I got candid, direct, honest feedback about my performance as a leader. There was things like 360s and I got performance reviews, but not the type of thing that you're describing, which is like literally today I try this, I get people to be honest and direct with me, and then the next day I try something else. Like, what a wonderful way to experiment. And I imagine for many people, that story you gave is not that out of the ordinary, which is I'm all the way to the left and then I get feedback, I go all the way to the right, and then I can calibrate a little bit and find that middle path that's a little bit more authentic to how I can lead more powerfully.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that feedback piece is key as well. Not just like reinforcing feedback, which what some may call like negative feedback, but also like positive reinforcing feedback, like throughout the day. And a lot of people in the military don't really know how to give either. The fit reps are always like written in this weird way where, you know, you can't say anything negative on the fit rep because then like it's, oh my God, it's like really bad. So like you never really know like what you should be working on. You have to like read in between the lines of the fit rep. Oh, what are they not saying? I guess that's what I should be working on, you know? And so I think just in general, like the sort of a systemic ways that the military sets up their feedback processes definitely need some work. And so, you know, that's where Knowles comes in, at least with some of these populations. And while we may not help them out with their systems like fit reps, we do help them out, you know, sitting down, giving each other candid feedback and accepting that feedback as a gift, because it's really hard to accept feedback. The first thing that should come out of your mouth when someone gives you feedback is thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, that's really a struggle as well.
Yeah. I noticed the ways in which still I'm pretty, I can view feedback as criticism and I can get defensive. And then you start to realize like the power of getting that honest feedback, like how rarely we get any sort of feedback like that. And so when to get it, you know, one of my teachers that I like, he says, what's the 2% truth in any feedback? And I think sometimes the temptation can be to push something away. It's like almost like this foreign body that your antibodies are attacking is like, let me get rid of this. But instead of like trying to disprove the feedback, at least saying like, okay, what is the 2% truth that I can take on and apply in this situation? And hopefully it's more than that, but at least there's that much in any piece of feedback.
Yeah, that's a great point. We always tell people like, if you don't agree with it, that's okay. Just say thank you and then just let it sit, like contemplate on it, like think about it overnight, you know, that kind of thing.
And, you know, for what it's worth, I've noticed that sometimes the feedback that I'm most violently opposed to is the feedback I most need to hear. The one that I just knee-jerk reject, the one where I write the person off as a total jerk, the one where I think like there's no way that's right. I found over time almost always that's the feedback I most need to hear and I'm most gonna benefit from learning.
Oh, nice.
Could you give a little bit for people who are listening and interested in being exposed to Knowles? Could you give them some maybe footholds on ways that they might try this out or learn more?
Yeah, sure. You can always go to knowles.edu. And they have, they have over 300 different types of expeditions, anything from like 5 days to even like you said, I think you said your partner did a 3-month expedition, right? And so they have this like wide variety of different types of expeditions. They have 16 physical campuses around the world. So you can do glacier mountaineering in Patagonia, sea kayaking in Mexico, caving in Utah, backpacking in Alaska or Scandinavia, sailing in Mexico. Yeah, I said that, sailing in Mexico, things like that. So there's a lot of different options out there. So if you have like a smaller schedule, like a, you know, like you only have 7 days off. Like Knowles knows that a lot of like older people, especially like can't take 30 days off. And so we offer these like smaller, like you can do 7 days mountaineering in Alaska. They'll fly you in on a glacier. You're like on a glacier day one, like doing these things. And then you'll most likely fly out or hike out. So Knowles really does have a wide variety of options. What's interesting too, is that I know a lot of people from the military may be interested in like EMT training as sort of like a job skill training that they want to do. Knowles offers like a wilderness EMT training program. I think it's like a month long program or maybe a month and a half, but anyway, at the end, you earn both your wilderness EMT and your traditional EMT certification. So you can actually use that to go be an EMT somewhere after taking your Knowles course, which is pretty awesome.
Mm. And I think that, you know, just from my third party point of view, from my wife's experience and my friends, it's like, not only are you gaining an appreciation for the outdoors, you're getting that time out in nature. My understanding is like the level of instruction is unparalleled. Like my wife went in having only gone camping a few times and she learned snowshoeing, rock climbing. She learned how to build a snow cave to sleep in. Like she learned, she came back, like she's pretty hardcore now when it comes to outdoors. And all of that was taught through Knowles. And so just an exceptional caliber of training that, you know, I think can benefit obviously in the leadership aspect, but also just that self-sufficiency and that ability to be confident in unknown situations is really incredible.
Yeah, that's true. And I should say that like, you don't have to have any previous outdoor experience. In fact, some of the most successful students go in with zero outdoor experience. And, you know, we teach you how to do everything. And what's really neat is that like, you know, if Sally is really good at setting up the tent and like Tim doesn't really know, like Sally can help Tim do it. And, you know, you learn from your peers as well. But yeah, that's a great point. It's less of a guiding trip. So like many organizations, it's more like guiding, you know, going up to Denali. I'm going to hold your hand up to Denali. I'm going to cook you all the meals. I'm going to set up your tent. I'm going to carry your gear. Like many organizations do that, but Knowles, it really is instruction. So I'm going to teach you how to climb Denali. So next time you want to go climb a mountain, you can do it on your own without me. And that's sort of the kind of a crux at Knowles. At the end of almost every course, we have independent student travel where the instructors go out on their own and the students go out on their own and we'll meet them in 3 to 5 days at the end of the time. So
that's wonderful. Really,
yeah.
One of the things I admire about your story, Mike, is obviously the outdoor component, but also your willingness to off-road from a career standpoint, the willingness to go overseas. And for most of the people I have on the show, I'd say you're on the extreme of people willing to take risks and willing to deviate from a well-trod path. I'm curious, do you view yourself like, are both of those things big parts of your background, like in the military, like the ability to be out or the outdoor component as well as the autonomous component? Were you always like that, or was there something that brought that out in you?
I just enjoy checking out different things in life. I kind of style myself as like a Renaissance person. So for example, I one of the reasons I joined the Marine Corps out of the Naval Academy is because the Marine Corps has a lot of different options. Like you can go air or ground out of the Marine Corps. And then like, okay, great. And then once I was in the Marine Corps, I chose artillery. Why? Because artillery, obviously it's traditional artillery, but because traditional artillery is actually not used that much more in warfare, a lot of the artillery officers were farmed out to different jobs around the Marine Corps and within the DOD. And so that's exactly what happens in the military. I always signed up for, hey, we need somebody to go like work with these Army special operations people in Qatar. It's like, yeah, sign me up. Hey, we need somebody to go over to Dubai to do this. Yeah, sign me up. And so I'm always like kind of on the lookout for like new and different things to try. And I love learning. I love learning new things, new experiences, meeting new people, new cultures, things like that. So I guess that's always been a part of me.
If
I always like to give room for additional resources, and you can take that as podcast, books, conferences, movies, websites. If people are fired up by what you're talking about, what are some things that have helped you that you would recommend for them to check out?
Like I said, I like learning and reading a lot, especially about what's like going on around the world. So I read a lot of The Economist. I feel like they have a good like international relations section. If you want to read more about Knowles and specifically the military and Knowles and my journey, I did a blog post on the Knowles.edu site. I think if you just go on the Knowles.edu blog, you can read about my journey at Knowles and everything. For CrossFit things, I like to listen to Jason Kalipa AMRAP mentality. I feel like he has some like motivating things about making goals for yourselves and like attacking different problems in your life, and really he has this podcast called the AMRAP mentality that I like, and then like Coffee with Kalipa is pretty good. That's it. For books, I read a smattering of things. I'm really into sci-fi, but I also just got done reading a book about like money laundering and overseas banks. And
nice. What's that book?
Dirty Money or something came out a couple years ago.
Yep. Okay, yeah. Great. And for listeners, I'll add links to all of those in the show notes at beyondtheuniform.org.
Oh, great.
Well, Mike, I always like to leave the last question open-ended, and you can take it either as what have we not covered that you want to make sure listeners know, or what's just some parting words of wisdom you'd like to leave with listeners?
I would say don't be afraid to do something a little non-traditional. It'll most likely work out in the end. I know a lot of people in the military you know, it can be scary. You're going from this like nice paycheck and a nice house, you know, free medical, things like that, to kind of take the leap and do something different. I had a really supportive wife who also wanted to do these things. So she moved with me to Cambodia. She's doing the Knowles thing with me, which is awesome. I would say, yeah, don't be afraid to do something non-traditional, especially living overseas, especially in Asia. It's sort of a growth area right now. And so it may be like easy to get like a 9-to-5 job in, I don't know, someplace in the US, Austin or something. But it might be more fulfilling in the long run if you're interested in living overseas and doing something different, to kind of take the leap and go over to Asia and see the opportunities over there.
Well, Mike, I appreciate your time today. I appreciate your story that you shared with us. And for listeners at beyondtheuniform.org, I'll have links to some related episodes, a link to all the resources we talked about, as well as the Knowles information, so you can dig in. And let us know if you end up doing that. I'd love to hear from listeners. With a 8-month-old kid, my time with Knowles is probably postponed until he turns 18, and I hope to do that trip with him. But let me live vicariously through you if any listeners end up doing a trip on that.
Okay, thanks, Justin. Thanks for having me.
Surface. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Quick couple admin points. We release brand new episodes every single Monday and Thursday. Those are usually recorded about a month or so before they go live. Every Monday and Thursday, we have an interview, usually almost always with a military veteran about their civilian career. More and more, we're starting to add in experts who may not be veterans, but may have some expertise that will help the military veteran community. Saturdays, I typically post more of a behind the scenes episode, which is a free form format. I try to use what I'm calling a mullet format. And by that, I mean business up front, party in the back, talking through admin points, professional topics related to the podcast. It might be a conversation I had that week. It might have been an interview I had that week, but just trying to share things that are top of mind that may help you in more of a free form, straight from the heart format. And then the party in the back is the personal side of things, just kind of more free-flowing thoughts on life, on improving oneself, just kind of whatever's going on in life and trying to be authentic and honest about those things as well. Special thanks. We have an all-volunteer army of people behind Beyond the Uniform making this possible. We do this on our lunch breaks, on our evenings, on our weekends, because we love the military community. We want to give back. We want to make a difference. We want that as part of the purpose in our life that we valued in the military. So special thanks to Steve Bain. Steve does pretty much everything. He helps secure guests. He does our newsletter. He keeps the reels rolling and keeps me sane. Kathleen Dillon, the first person to join our team. She writes text transcripts of every single episode. It's wild. She keeps up with two of these a week despite a demanding career and education right now. But those transcripts help us get more SEO value, helps her audience more. Andrew Woolridge is our data guru. He helps us understand the numbers, which is the easiest way for us to figure out how we can better support you, and adds kind of the data oversight for that. Rick Healy does all of our social media. He is gaining more and more of an audience for us by getting our videos, getting our podcasts out on social channels. The best way to stay in contact with us is if you go to beyondtheuniform.org, there is a newsletter. You'll have a little pop-up that comes up. You can put your email in. We email twice per month. We try to be respectful, but it is a great way to get appraised of upcoming events, upcoming interviews, promos where companies are giving discounts to Beyond the Uniform listeners, and more. This does cost money to put on. We are committed to not charging veterans directly, and the way that we kind of offset costs is through corporate sponsors. So if you know of a company that would like to get in front of a military audience and their families, that's one way that we can both add value to our members, but also offset the costs of Beyond the Uniform and give us a little bit of budget to start expanding what we're doing. So that's the best way you can help us. If that's not something